Now we're going to look at the Beatitudes. Now, before we do, I'd like to say a few words about what's a Beatitude. A culture reveals much of itself by what it considers blessed or fortunate. The word makarios obviously is a Greek word. It translates ashere. Now, it can be used in different senses. For instance, ashere ayesh osher laholak, the first psalm, blessed is the man who doesn't walk, you know, according to the counsel of the wicked, you know, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the chair of mockers. That's indicating the way to blessedness. Blessedness, but it's not like a high jump bar. It's an outline of how to respond to God. And that's a good example. There are hundreds in the Old Testament. But there's another sense of Asherei, which happens to us by the act of God in us. Blessed the people whose God is Adonai. God is the Lord. What did we do about that? Nothing. God chose that. You are blessed. When Gabriel said to Mary, blessed are you among women. It's the work of God. But that she followed that out and lived it heroically, that's blessed are you because you believed. Do I make myself clear? There's two ways that this word, and our Lord includes them both. He points out a way to live, and he shows us how to do it. See, we have these texts. Well, I think I've given you enough examples so you get the idea of a blessedness. Now, what you notice about these is they fulfill the commands, not one by one, the second tablet of the law. You see, they're all about how we relate to be poor, which is to relate to God, but they're mostly to do with the second ones. Because our Lord did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, and so he points the way to blessedness, and he declares blessed those who are there by the work of God. Blessed the people whose God is the Lord. What did the people do to get there? They accepted the work of God. They yielded to the work of God. Okay. Now, I'm going to spend a lot of time on the first Beatitude because, in a way, as St. Ambrose points up, if I can find this text somewhere, Ambrose says that. And hopefully, in this jungle of notes, I'll find it before I get to the end. And so I'm going to move on right away, I think, to look at the poor. See, Yahweh loves his people, and he helps the anawim. Remember the parallelism in Hebrew? So we have his people and the anawim. His people, you see, are the anawim. If you want to be on the good side, you know, live on the other side of the tracks, spiritually at least, you know, because his people are the poor ones. Okay. So it's a blessing given to the poor, but then there's an action on the part of the poor, this kind of poor man. It's to eschew anything that would make me rich and deprive me of the joy of being totally dependent on God, like Jesus, like Mary. See, all of us are dependent on God. We just don't know it. Then we get sick or whatever, and all of a sudden we know our dependence on God. But the poor man is the one who delights in the experience of dependence on God. Doesn't frighten him. He delights in it. And he eschews those things that would keep him. That's why most of the saints were broke. Not all of them. We had St. Louis and some others. But in other words, it's a one who has this quality. There's almost a synonym for this in another word, the one who trembles at my word. For instance, the Jews wanted to build a temple, just like the Poles and the Italians and the Irish, when they got here, they wanted to build a church to say, we've arrived, and to keep their ethnic identity. So when the Jews came back from the exile, they built a temple, but mostly to say, we've arrived. So God wasn't too impressed with it. And this is what he says. This is Isaiah 66. Heaven is my throne, earth my footstool. What is the house which you'd build for me? And what is the place of my rest? All these things my hand has made. And so all these things are mine already. I'm ad-libbing the text a bit, says the Lord. All these things my hand has made, and so all these things are mine, says the Lord. We forget about that, don't we? Build a new parish church. Look at that. It's God's. He gave the stone, he gave the money, he gave the brains, he gave you life. Okay. But this is the man to whom I will look, he that is humble and contrite in spirit, and humble and trembles at my word, the Anav, the poor man. So you see who he is? You see? And these words come often. I will have there. Those who eschew the unjust exercise of power and who do not compromise the will of God are not likely to be among the rich and powerful. That's poverty. And it sums up most of the other Beatitudes, as I hope to get time to show. Okay? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, commentators have noticed for years, Jesus speaks all the time about the kingdom, and the rest of the New Testament speaks about Jesus. Origen said why? Because Jesus is Alpha Basilia. Jesus is himself the kingdom of God. He is that place from which God exercises his love, his authority, his saving power, his everything. Jesus is the kingdom. That's why the word is not often used in the rest after the Gospels. In fact, it's only used once in John, in chapter 3. This is a quote from Schnakenberg that might be helpful. As announced by Jesus, the reign of God, see, the kingdom, we think of the kingdom of Monaco, but the Malkut, the kingdom, or the Vasilia, the Greek for it, doesn't mean the kingdom. It means the reign, the rule. That's what's coming. And if God rules, there will be peace. There will be justice. There'll be no more, as it says other places, violence on my holy mountain. Okay? As announced by Jesus, the reign of God is not an awareness of God's sovereign power over the universe or of God's kingship over Israel, long established and still enduring, though both these concepts are presupposed. It is the announcement of God's kingship in its full realization, fully active, eschatologically irrevocable. Now I'm here, and God will never leave this earth. In fact, I am going to join those who believe in me and are baptized into me, so that they are physically joined to me and become my body. So my church will always be my physical presence on earth. And if they're living the way they should be living, they will show forth that to the world. My face, Jesus says. My love, my uprightness, my forgiveness, my meekness, all the things that these Beatitudes are for. I'm going to go now. You understand the poor man a bit, I think, huh, now. He's the one who avoids anything that's going to make him not dependent on God. Now, the saints managed to do that. I couldn't do it. If I were wealthy and driving around in a big car, I don't think I would be very humble. And of course, Jesus, who could have done it, didn't. He was poor. Okay, the next blessing is those who mourn. To mourn is to be sad over sin. You read about Sudan. You read about all the Christians being killed in Iraq, Egypt. That's violence. It's sin. That's darkness. And we mourn. That's a beatitude when we're mourning over the right thing. See, if I lose my wallet and I mourn, that's not a beatitude. But if I look at the state of sin in me and in the world and I mourn, that's the blessedness. I've got it. I understand. Now, mourning is the root of intercession. Mourning is the root of intercession. Because I mourn, I pray for the world. Because I mourn, I give myself to God. You know, as a priest and victim, as far as I can, for the world. I pray for the world. I pray for the church. There's a lot of evil in the church. Not only division, but outright falsehood. It's a mess. But you see, that's what gives rise to intercession. Meek means not to return evil for evil. And the example is given in the book of Exodus. Moses was the meekest man on earth because he didn't return evil for evil. Hunger for righteousness. You see, I'm going quickly. I've only got a little bit of time left. Hunger for righteousness means hunger for God's way of living, for God's law, God's instruction. Merciful means to imitate God. Be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful, is the way it's described in Luke. Clean of heart means centered on one thing. I'm clean of heart when I see God everywhere, when I obey God everywhere, where I serve everybody for the love of God. My heart is clean. It says in Psalm 24, who shall ascend the mountain of the Lord? It says the man with clean hands and pure heart. Clean hands, that's his whole body. It stands for his whole body. He acts cleanly and pure of heart. He's concentrated on God. That's why they don't translate anymore pure of heart, though it would be better, because pure then kind of tends to restrict it to chastity, which is certainly included, but it's bigger than that. And finally, persecuted for righteousness' sake. That's all of us in a way, but the blessed are those who right now are suffering. And God is blessing them and promising them an eternity if they stay faithful to Him under this persecution. Amen.